Log Talk Radio.
This is a great morning. Thank you so much for joining the Student to Teacher Show. This is a radio show focused on whether or not you are a student and a teacher interchangeably throughout your life. You see, the reason why we came up with this concept of student to teacher is based on a very, very ancient philosophy of when the student is ready, the teacher appears, Confucius says. Well, it's a little bit deeper than that. I took it to another level. The wisdom of God helped me to understand that all of us are students if we wish to learn. And if you can just consider the fact that since the beginning of your life, of the beginning of our lives, from the very seed of our fathers and the eggs of our mothers, that we were destined to learn. And then as a student learning life, we also reach a point where what do we do with all the knowledge? There's nothing else to do but share it. And when you share it, you are a teacher, my friends. Yes, a teacher shares, a student learns. And tell me, if you're not a person that does that interchangeably, consistently, all through your life, then you're at the right show right now. You're at the right place right now, listening to this radio talk show. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite coming to you from Arizona. That's right, that's my home base. And as many of you know, I'm crazy about living here. It's wonderful. But I'm so grateful that this show is broadcast globally. That's right, we have people listening in from all over the world. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe our producer just mentioned to me that we are over the 71,000 listener mark, our producer, Malvina Sullivan. Thanks so much for her being part of the show, and our executive producer, Kim Owens, all of the people that have put in donations lately to White Apple Institute, our sponsor. Thank you so much for that. Those little donations, I tell you, even if you give up one of those cups of coffee a week, they help. $5, $10 coming in, hit that donate button at whiteappleinstitute.org, and you help us keep this show going, and you also help White Apple Institute provide those crisis stipends to students as they run into any emergency crisis, financial crisis, while trying to go to school. And they get a lot of emotional support from the counselors associated with White Apple Institute. So make sure you go to that website and check us out and hit that donate button, or at least promote us through your own social media. Yes, so let's start this morning with just understanding a little bit about the show, because we've got some really special guests lined up. We're hoping that Melinda Vail is actually traveling. She's an intuitive therapist who's joined us before, and she may indeed join us on the show this morning. However, I know that Steve Shiro, the Foundation for Suicide Prevention, will be joining us this morning, and we have, of course, our vet-to-vet talk that closes out our show today. A couple of veterans, two or three of them I know, that have committed to come on board and talk about what's going on with veterans and give some positive news about some of the resources available, especially related to this particular subject that I'm going to talk about today. We're going to talk about students and veterans and how they discuss depression at school. And see, this is a real important subject because many times when we're talking about the student and depression, we're usually associating that with, teenagers. Oh, wow. Got news for you. The highest rate of suicide and depression rates are among seniors, middle age and seniors, and definitely within the population that we focus on, which are students and veterans trying to go to school and trying to balance out work and family and all of the responsibilities of trying to work and progress in life by taking a course, going after a degree, and then dealing with emotional challenges or any form of disability, which makes us look at what we can do with our lives differently than what we did prior to recognizing that we have some limitations. Now, mind you, I put an emphasis on some limitations because I don't want anyone to think for a moment that just because you recognize that you have a dis in your abilities, in one or more of your abilities, it doesn't mean that you cannot look at the different abilities that you have to offer. You see, that's one of the reasons why we do not market or promote our show out there as a show only for people with disabilities. Because, my friends, listen carefully. I have not met a person, have you, that does not have some dis in their ability, something that may not work up to the norm, the standards that have been set, either academically, at work, at school, at home. So what I hope in putting this message out is that you not only integrate this message into your own life, but that you also share it with others. So let's learn a few things about what the discussion will be about this morning, and as the switchboard begins to light up, we will be able to have other people share their comments about depression. Here we go. When I look at whether or not among the professionals that I know, whether or not we can really share an explanation about why we've seen an increase among mental disorders and suicides, it's hard to explain. Many people I've talked to, especially from a religious perspective, have said, well, it's a sign of the last days. And then I've heard another perspective that maybe it's because the news, the media, plays it up so much. But I think that there's something we do need to look at. And let's just do this from an individual perspective, just to try to explain why we're seeing so much of this mental disorder and suicide issue coming up so frequently. Maybe we need to look inside of ourselves and determine whether or not we are doing something for ourselves to make us focus on our reasons to go on living. Now, I don't know where this is coming from, but just bear with me for a minute as I share this with you. Reasons to go on living every day. Do you wake up thinking about reasons to go on living? And I don't mean just living, because there are people that truly just exist. See, there's a difference there. When we just exist, and whether or not we live and have a quality of life And that's what I'm talking about. Reasons to go on living, reasons to go on increasing our quality of life. And I think that that's where the core of where it begins, the explanation begins about why we do see such an increase in mental disorders and suicides. Okay? It's because we're not encouraging ourselves, number one, to look at the reasons to go on living and building a quality of life. But by doing that within our own selves, that we begin to create that energy around us and empower others to do the same. You see, that's the whole key, is that you have to learn yourself, students out there, all of you. Don't say, oh, I'm not a student because I'm not in school, I don't have any degrees. No. You're a student. Remember earlier I said you're a student if you are able and willing to learn. So when I speak to you, I speak also to myself because I'm a student. And I have to, every day, I focus on, especially when I come across moments where I feel a little down. That's right. Dr. Applewhite feels a little down sometimes too. That's right. And when I do that, I have to focus on not only am I going to get up and get going with life, but how I can increase that quality and find joy and peace and love within myself. Because if I don't find it there as a parent, as a grandparent, as an educator, as a counselor, I cannot help anyone else unless I first can recognize where my dis and my abilities are. Interesting. You know, most critical about finding this explanation of mental disorders and suicides is how teachers, now I'm talking about teachers at all levels of employment and school, academically, because that's where we hear the increases going on. Most critical is how teachers at all levels are identifying and addressing violent and aggressive behavior, mood disorders, and suicidal tendencies. You see, there's a positive end to this. Now, I know you're like, what are you talking about? What kind of positive aspect of suicide and depression, mental disorders, can we talk about this morning? Well, there is. Hold on. The positive end of that is that in recognizing that these things exist, teachers out there, you have already started the identification process of knowing yourself and knowing your students. Now, what do I mean by that, the identification process? You are responsible. Because many times, teachers, especially those in academic or employment training settings, you probably spend more time directly with someone than people that go home and spend time with their own families. You probably have more one-on-one interaction in this day and time. And so it's important not only that you keep yourself balanced and identify any symptoms within yourself to increase your quality of life, but that you can also identify that in the students that you work with, that you team with, that you help, you support. See, the American Psychological Association states that untreated depression can lead to suicide. So untreated depression. Now, that's making an assumption that depression is there. So we have to be really careful of knowing how to identify those signs. Now, you can go onto the internet and there's plenty of information out there about to Google or any other Mozilla, Firefox, any other browsers, type in signs of depression and you'll come up with all the signs of depression that probably, I'm going to, of course, overview those in a moment. But so what? You have the signs there and you see them in black and white and you can read them. But knowledge is one thing and then application is another. Okay? So let's see if going through the show we can come up with more ways to not only know how to identify the signs of depression that may lead to suicide, okay, but also to identify, here's something I want to do before the show ends, is I want to talk about, okay, again, the reasons to go on living a quality life, okay, after someone has attempted a suicide, okay, so that's one thing. And I definitely want to talk about the positive aspects of when we say we've had enough of medications that help us with depression, when we know when we don't have to take a medication. These are important issues. And hopefully, as we go through this show this morning, and some of the guests that will be coming on will be able to share with us some of the good news that they can that they have come across, some of the stories that they have come across of people. You know, it's cause for alarm when we talk about student veterans specifically. And I just want to give kudos to all of those who, like myself, the veterans who have come out of any kind of depression, any kind of trauma in their life, and turn that around and become helpful to other veterans. So I want to give kudos for many of the people who continue to write in and give us a like on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you so much for that. Student veterans are a very important group because not only do they are they coming back from war-torn areas and lots of stress in their life. They come back to an adjustment to civilian life and trying to go to school. And so I really hope that if you know anyone who is a veteran who is trying to go to school or wants to succeed and it's having a rough time, please make sure that you share the show with them, number one, but also lead them back to our website at whiteappleinstitute.org, okay? And try your best, if you can. Let's all of us make an effort in the next couple of weeks to really learn more about what's going on instead of just listening to what the media feeds us. Now, I don't put down the media, because we need the information out there. But there's also other ways that we can look at, what's happening on a positive level out there, like the factor that we have people that are in different organizations that are doing wonderful, wonderful things. And they are reducing the numbers of murder-suicide incidents. They are reducing the number of suicidal attempts because of the work they're doing. And one of them is, of course, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and many of our other counseling agencies out there. And later on down the road in the show, we're going to have one of our veteran representatives, Mitch Cavanis, will discuss the crisis hotline for the veterans also. So we'll be able to do that. Well, let me finish up a few more things here, and I can't ignore the fact that just recently, I think it was November, we had Senator Cray Deed's son. He's a senator from Virginia, I believe it is, and unfortunately, his son was a student, and he went into a very, very angry rage, and unfortunately, tried to stab his father, he did stab his father, and he unfortunately killed himself. And, when you look at things like this, you say, well, this person has been in school, and this person has been helped in the system, and why do things like this even happen? Oh, one of them is that we have, and I know that many of you know this, a very broken mental health system in the identification process and in treatment, intervention. And so we're fixing it, though, and that's the positive end of it. It is being fixed. because of recognition and because of people like you that are out there that are trying their best to share news like this. So I thank you so much for listening, and I hope that as we go through some of the signs of depression, that you will gain a more positive aspect and be able to share out there that suicide is not acceptable. Suicide will not help. Depression can be helped. Do you know that most people that deal with, especially middle-aged Americans, deal with a lot of economic worry and such an easy access to medications, painkillers specifically, and depression medications. And they become so vulnerable because of the lack of support and understanding that that's not the only way out. The other way out, as I said earlier, is to recognize, can I say, my friends, the God within? I mean, I know many people listen to the show and they're of different religions, but the God within, and how that recognizing that can help to reduce the amount of depression that's out there and self-inflicted harm, even the attempts of it. Listen, we can do something about this. I mean, they're calling suicide now the third highest rate of death, especially in the United States. We can address this. It is a big issue, and it is a serious issue. We have some callers online, and I don't want to without acknowledging some of the people that we have online today. We have a 209, looks like a number calling in from California. And let's see. Hi, this is Dr. Applewhite. Have you been listening to the show a little bit? Hello?
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Good morning. Good morning. And may I ask, have you been listening to the show for a while?
Yes, this is Kim, one of the members, Dr. Applewhite.
Oh, Kim, this is, yes. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Kim, how are you doing this morning?
Great. It seems like we're hearing a little echo here from California.
Okay. We're hearing you just fine.
Okay, great.
I just wanted to, you know, I've been saying a lot of things for the last 15 minutes or so, and I'm trying to, you know, I've been going through the news and just trying to see, is there a positive way that we can look at suicide in this world and try to get something positive out there, a message out there? And do you know there's nothing out there that's really, that you can even look at a positive aspect of suicide attempts, someone in your family attempting suicide, teachers and students being affected by this dilemma? I mean, is there anything positive we can take from it?
Well, personally, Apple, I'm not quite sure right now when we look at the time and the season we're in. I tend to think sometimes the suicide is seasonal. Have you ever heard that before?
Oh, yes, yes. Especially during this last holiday season. Yes, mm-hmm. The numbers do go up. They do go up considerably. Thankfully, mm-hmm. The numbers have not increased that dramatically this year, which is nice to hear. Okay?
That's awesome.
Nice. And I think that's because there's been a recognition out there. Mm-hmm. But I think here's what I'm trying to get to, is that when I look at the people who attempt suicide and who become very, very depressed. I think that the positive aspect of that, for those who don't go to the completion of suicide now, okay, because I don't see how we can derive much out of that as far as a positive, but the positive aspects of knowing that there are people who overcome it, and maybe if we could focus on that, okay, I mean, we can find the numbers of people that completed and people that attempted and people that are depressed, but are we looking at how many people are able to overcome it and recognize that it's a diss in their ability, okay, to function sometimes at school and work, but there are people that are doing it. I mean, you work in the field, Kim, and you work with dual-diagnosed women, and you've been working in mental health for many, many years. Have you seen some positive aspects?
Well, I have. I like when you talked about a little bit of spirituality, because I think sometimes for people, you know, spirituality gets misused and placed differently in the brain. And so when suicide is taking over that thought process, you know, we're not thinking about, is there another way? You know, we get down to the very end of there isn't another way. And there really is. For people who work with people in this field, we go through depression. And we go through it a lot at times, but we always find something positive in the people that we're around or the people that we work with. Because there is always some shining light in the midst of something that's dark. There really is. But if you're not seeking it and you're really at this point just, you know, bent on this is what you want to do, then at that point, who can do anything for you?
You know, when I hear you say that, it brings back that one of the speeches from our dear Nelson Mandela. And poem that he quoted from Marianne Williamson. And I'm trying to remember, it's something about, we were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it is in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. And I think that's so important that not only are we examples, those of us that are in the field, hopefully we are examples, but that we talk about the positive aspects of people moving from depression into a better life. I've seen it happen. I'm a witness myself. I dealt with it for many years. You know, related to not only the diss in my abilities to do certain things after a major car accident, but also in just looking at the fact that I wanted to continue helping students who were dealing with depression and getting through school with emotional challenges. So I tell you, if we could just recognize the spiritual aspect of why we're depressed and how do you like this thing that I said, the reasons to go on living a quality life, if we can recognize that in ourselves and then share that with others. You think that would be a good way to start?
I think it's a great way to start, and I think it's what also is a great way to start, Apple, with is people who are depressed seeing people who are wealthy, people who they may admire, but knowing that those people are real. And I think sometimes what I've seen sitting in with depression is people thinking that, you know, these people aren't human, that, you know, a senator doesn't deal with depression. You know, our governor doesn't deal with depression. And sometimes, you know, we get put aside, and especially people who really get deep into that depression, they really get deep into probably what other people are doing. As the, you know, and the focus is not really just on who you are and seeking some assistance. Their focus is visual. I think that's where I'm trying to get with it, because in our world, there's so much visuality there for us. And so you visually think you should be where someone else is. And if you never get there, hey, what sinks in your brain? Something negative.
I want you to stay tuned for a minute, because I'm going to share a story with you and our listeners out there. And I'm going to pull in some other people from our switchboard. But here's something that I want to share. This is a story that came in from one of the teachers. And what was really interesting about this is that usually I get more stories from teachers about the students, their students, okay? I very rarely get an admission from teachers unless it's in a very intense counseling session with them. But I don't get an open communication like this. And this teacher, what she's trying to say is that she had to deal with battling depression herself before she even got into the classroom with students, okay? And she talks about how she would drink coffee and Coca-Cola, lots of it, before she even got to school. She mentions a candy bar, and I don't think I should mention a candy bar, but she ate lots of candy bars, lots of sugar, okay? Lots of sugar, okay? And she was hoping that she would be up enough, you know, her attitude and her enthusiasm would be up enough so that she would, her students would know how deep it was with her, how what a battle she had with depression every morning. And I thought that was really important that we focused on her, and I'll call her Mrs. J for a moment, that we focus on Mrs. J because I think that will open up a little bit about what I've been trying to say from the very beginning, is that in order for her to recognize the symptoms of depression and deal with her students, she had to first recognize what was going on within herself. And if we don't do that, we can't help anyone else. Mm-hmm. You agree?
I agree, totally.
Yeah. So let's see if we have another caller online that can add more to that. I don't want to ignore anybody. Good morning. This is a 418. Good morning. 418? The 602?
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Dr. Beth.
Hi, Dr. Beth. How are you?
Nice to hear you calling in this morning. Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy
New Year, Kim. It's good to hear your voice also.
Oh, yes.
And it is a Happy New Year. You know why it's a Happy New Year? Because if we agree to this, and you tell me, Dr. Beth, okay, you're an educator. You understand the system. I believe that with an optimistic attitude that we can help more people with dealing with depression if we deal with helping them to understand themselves, understanding the student within that wants to learn more about how to have a quality life, and also to teach them how to be teachers and share that information with others. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance? What do you think?
I think... excuse me, I'm a little bit of a cold. I personally think that it all to help, it begins with us. When I don't have a lot of medical knowledge on suicide and depression and things like that, but I know that when a person is angry and striking out at other people, a lot of times it could be through depression, like, sort of like what Kim was saying. They're unhappy with themselves because they don't have or can never see themselves achieving things that other people have. Mm-hmm. And I think for me personally, I'm not in the position to diagnose anyone, but I can help people generally who may be having some type of episodes when they acting out in anger, for me to show just the opposite to them, to help them to feel better. And I had an incident a few days ago where in traffic, and a gentleman was very, very upset for whatever reason, and he rolled down his window, gave me the finger, and started calling me the N-word. And my reaction to him, instead of going in the direction he was going, because obviously he was very unhappy and could have been depressed about some things in his life, I just waved at him, gave him a big smile, and kept telling him Happy New Year as I drove away. Now, somehow this person is, you know, experiencing this anger. Where is it coming from? He's unhappy. And a lot of times, if we take the time to look at someone and they're exhibiting behavior of anger, hostility, things like that, it's some kind of depression. And a lot of times what we do is we react the same way. We get mad at them, which makes it worse.
Right.
Now they've got somebody else who doesn't like them, and what's the sense in living, you know?
Right. And you know, it's interesting you said that, because the Dalai Lama, for those of you who are familiar with him and his concepts, he mentioned something about, and I really smiled when I heard him say this, I think it was on one of the talk shows, and he said, when someone is giving you the bird and putting their finger up at you, you know, try another reaction, okay, because every reaction is a reaction, and try the reaction of waving at them as opposed to putting your finger up back at them, okay, and saying Happy New Year, just what you said just now. So it's really interesting that there are ways to battle address the issues of people who are angry, which, you know, anger, you know, and I have to say this, and I teach my students this, that anger is the opposite of depression, okay? Mm-hmm. So, it's a depression is anger within yourself. Now, and just take a moment and listen to that one and let that, you know, generate, vibrate within you, what I'm saying to you, is that depression is truly an anger that you have within you that you keep inside of yourself and you don't let it out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so you become very overwhelmed with it. You know, I remember in the teacher's letter that I was talking about, Mrs. J, she said that she had always kind of wondered about what, when things got bad for her in her life, what she would do to herself if she could just leave the situation, leave life. Okay, so sometimes these things are within all of us, and we think about a way out or a way even to aggressively come after someone else. But the majority of people, unfortunately, turn that anger into themselves and become very depressed, and a lot of it is related to economics, to family, to not having a balance in their life. And I love what you're saying about being the example. Continue being that example, Dr. Bev, and continue passing this message out there to others. Okay? Another comment. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's one other thing, and I just want to get into a little bit about who you are, because, Dr. Bev, you do a lot with health, okay, and helping people to recognize that, as we say at White Apple Institute, healthy minds equal healthy bodies, because the thought process has to be there first for you to recognize that you need to do something, even with your physical health, to address depression.
Mm-hmm.
Can you expound on that a little bit? I mean, how does what you put into your body help you to have a healthier mind? To learn better, to think better.
Again, I just have to think about, I try to personalize these things and why I try to eat right and, you know, keep the sugars out of my body.
Uh-huh.
Because when I don't eat the right foods and take the right supplements, I feel tired, sluggish, and I don't get much done, which leads to me not feeling good about myself because I'm not accomplishing the things that I want to accomplish. And so taking in the right nutrition gives me the energy that I need to do what I need to do to help myself and to help others, which then makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found that for me personally, if I allow myself to not have the healthy things in my body, different vitamin supplements and so forth, and eating right, of course, eliminating the sugars, my goodness, they're terrible for us. Then I start feeling a little depressed.
Yes.
And many, many years, I never even knew what depression was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, until I started getting older, and my body did not have the nourishment that it usually has as a youth, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's quite important that we look at our bodies in order, like you said, healthy body, healthy mind.
That's
right.
Helps
us function better.
And I think that it's important, too, if those of you who wish to get more in touch with Dr. Beverly Ponitz, you can do so through whiteappleinstitute.org. We appreciate the comments that you made about sugar, especially, because that's, getting back to Mrs. J, the teacher that I was talking about, that is one of the ways that she was able to push the what we call the serotonin levels, which, and I don't want to get into, I try not to get into too much of a technical language on this, but our brains process sugar, okay, and the way that we are able to many times battle depressive thoughts and feelings is that we need sugar in the brain, so to speak, okay, and it is actually part of the addiction process for alcoholism. When we deal with alcohol, we're dealing with sugar intake. So I thank you for bringing that up, because it's something that we all need to look at when we're recognizing the symptoms of depression, when we're recognizing that depression, as I noticed earlier, leads to suicide many times, or suicide attempts. And we want to make sure that we are able to identify those signs. Any other comments here? We have another caller. Let me take this other caller in. Good morning. This is a 200 number. Okay. Hello?
Yes, good morning, Ms. Apple.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Are you calling in from you're in Arizona?
I'm Maria.
Yeah, your name? If you feel like sharing your name. You don't have to share your name if you don't want to. Okay? What I wanted to ask you is, have you dealt with, are you calling in because you want to share something about depression, or do you want to know more about it? Hello?
Ms. Apple, this is Maria. Can you hear me?
Oh, hello. Good morning. And I wanted to ask you, you know, we've been talking about depression, and we've been talking about students at school, okay? And we're talking about people at work, too, employees that are especially in training programs, and the pressure is on them, you know, trying to balance their responsibilities at home, at school, at work, and then dealing with emotional challenges. I mean, that's a lot of balance for anyone in this world. And then don't throw in the economic issues. How do you have a message, anything that you would like to share with people about how to overcome those issues? And feel free to share anything about yourself.
Can you hear me well?
Pardon me?
Can you hear me well?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit louder if you could. Yeah, come up a little bit louder.
I can. My phone doesn't seem to be as loud as I can talk, so I don't know if you can hear me well.
A little louder. Okay, that's fine. You're doing the best you can. We can hear you. Have you had to deal with... Yes, okay. Let us know if you've had to deal with depression or if you have any questions about what we've been discussing today.
Okay. I think that I can say that in my own life, that because I was born with cerebral palsy.
Okay.
I'm 53 years old. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I had dealt in my whole life with a lot of issues, and also I think, you know, there are times where I've been depressed. But I also, and I appreciate when you say, when you talk about, you know, people are afraid, or we are afraid to say what is really in our minds sometimes, because we think that, oh, you know, they're going to say something, or they're going to look at us weird or whatever. But I'm not afraid to say that because I believe that if every one of us go back to basics, go back to whatever, you know, to basics and say that, getting into our relationship with the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
When we get close to our Creator, there is going to be changes in our lives. It's going to be God is going to deliver us from depression. God is going to deliver us from suicidal thoughts, from a lot of things that are against us. Because when we understand the spiritual concept, when we understand who is God, and then we are going to have understanding. The Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge.
If
we had knowledge and understand the principles of God, maybe life would be totally different. Because there's a song that says, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only Him can take the place that we need in our lives to become whole, to become delivered, to be delivered. And I know this is not a show to speak about religion, but, you know, I'm not afraid, like I said, to speak that, because if we have understanding of who God is, our lives would be totally different.
You know,
Him can satisfy your soul. Only God can do it.
And one of the things that's so important about what you said, and thank you so much for sharing, you know, because cerebral palsy is certainly is a diss in some of your abilities to move, and I'm sure there's some limitations that you've recognized in your life. However, it sounds like, and this is what I wanted today, so I'm so glad that God has moved you to be part of this show, because what you've done is said, and I hope our listeners have got that, is that you've been able to come away from the depression, okay, because you've been able to get in touch with creation, with God within yourself, and recognizing your spiritual nature has been your motivation to develop a quality life. Did you hear that too, Dr. Bev? I don't know if you've heard that. But that's commendable, and we appreciate you so much for sharing that. It looks like our guest speaker will not be able to join us this morning, but one of the things that he was able to share was that there was a suicide prevention walk, out of darkness walk, that happened across the nation. And he reports that, and this is Steve Shiro from the American Foundation for the Prevention of Suicide, reports that there has been an increase in, of course, recognition of the signs of depression, and they're getting a lot of information out there. Please connect with WhiteAppleInstitute.org in order to find out more about how you can not only identify the symptoms of depression within yourself, but also to recognize them within your students. And teachers especially, okay, for those of you who are teaching in the classroom and outside of the classroom, remember we're all teachers and students, okay, please be aware of how the example that you're putting forth out there, and try your best to recognize that. Number one, and I'm just going to go very, very briefly through some of the symptoms that I think are very important for us to recognize, and I've seen them so often. The biggest one that I see that happens within the classroom and within the work environment is fatigue. Fatigue and a decrease in our energy. And when I see that, I automatically see the signs of depression beginning to happen, okay? And that is difficulty with concentrating, remembering things, and you see this frustration happening. There's a loss of interest in different things. And the person just, of course, you know that if they're starting to feel sad or empty and they're looking hopeless and all of that, you know that that's there then. But, I mean, before that, look at fatigue and decreased energy as one of the potential signs that someone could be heading towards depression, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and that's for you teachers out there, that's for you students out there, okay, to share that information that we just learned together, okay? Any other comments that we have? Kim, any comments that we have on that particular issue? Can you elaborate a little bit, too, on social workers out there with depression?
Oh, there's tons of them. You know, would I like to elaborate on what what Beth talked about?
Yeah, about teachers. You know, they're teachers, too, social workers and counselors.
Yeah. And caseworkers. Let's not forget the people who, you know, comprise all of social work, because it's not necessarily just social workers. You have the people who are frontline people who I would like to speak for, caseworkers. Who take on cases before sometimes they even get to social workers. They're the most oppressed because they're the frontline people. Again, we want to make sure that we have athletes who are listening to the show, because we know athletes are very depressed, primarily the richest athletes. We also know our wealthy people, primarily the wealthiest, are very depressed. So we just want to keep this a humanistic show, and that people realize all of us, even on this show talking, have dealt with depression. But
yes,
we've managed to surround ourselves with positive people. Even if the dog around you is positive, guess what? He knows you're depressed, but he's giving you some energy to bring you out of it. And we know we're in a world where people will take care of an animal better than they will their brother or sister.
Kim, thanks so much for sharing that. And I want to say, you know, there's tons of stories out here that we can share. I think that if I can just share this, just an overview on some of the things that have come in. I have students that have written in that they're 40 years old and they started thinking about attempting suicide when they were 10 and 12, and thinking that people would be happier if they weren't around. And they have been able to overcome that by recognizing the creation within them and becoming motivated to have a quality of life. And you've got to start somewhere. I've had students dealing with, and this is why we have so many different topics too, students dealing with sexual abuse issues or gender issues. I have a story of a student that realized she was a lesbian when she was 16 years old in the late 80s and fell in love with a best friend at school. And because of her religious beliefs, okay, and her family became very depressed over her whole being, everything that she was. And this caused her to always feel that she didn't belong, a sense of, I don't belong here. And she was able to overcome that. There are ways out. So when we see those first signs, again, let me just reiterate, that lack of energy, that fatigue, someone being tired all of the time, that's almost like an open gateway to the possibility that they could be leading down the road to depression. And we certainly want to nip that in the bud ahead of time. I think getting back to something Maria said, Kim, she mentioned that it's hard sometimes for people to talk about it because other people might think you're weird. Didn't you say that, Maria?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
That's
a big thing. That's a big thing out there, because we don't want people to feel that way. So where do they go and who do they talk to if they don't want their family to know that they're having these feelings? Okay. So that's real important. I guess the best thing that we can say is for them to contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org. Give us
absolutely
a call, 480-471-8082, and see if we can get you in touch with some counselors, some people that will really help you and give you the emotional support you need to tap into some resources.
And also, Dr. Applewhite, we also want to mention donations to White Apple Institute. We sometimes forget to mention that when we're on air, but we definitely need donations from all of you listeners to help keep us on air. So we like to make sure we add that before the show ends. Please send us donations. Doesn't matter if it's a dollar. Doesn't matter if it's $5. but it would be great to send something to help keep us on air.
Thank you. A true board member there. We have we have our veteran of the day here, our Mitch Cavanez. Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Mitch, we've got about 5 minutes remaining on the show, and I tell you, it's been a great exchange of ideas that have gone through this morning, and I just wanted to recognize the many veterans out there from a positive aspect who have also been able to overcome depression and suicidal attempts and roll up their sleeves and go forward. And go to school and get a job and manage their families. I mean, that is not an easy accomplishment.
No.
I know you know.
Well, I'd like to say that, first of all, Happy New Year to everyone that's listening.
Happy New Year.
And just know that this year is going to be a positive year for all of us.
Yes.
And this time of year really brings back a lot of memories in my mind, because my mother and father was buried a week apart, January 7th and January 14th.
Wow.
And, you know, growing up, I didn't have time for depression. I didn't have time for a woe is me. I didn't have time for a pity party, because I had a lot of life to live.
Yes.
And I just want to tell everyone out there, you know, as bad as it looks at its darkest hour, it's also brighter than you can imagine on the other side of that hour.
Yeah.
So it's not a thing that anyone should give up and say that, you know, I've had enough of this, because there's a lot of other people dealing with issues that are that's much greater than yours.
Yeah.
And not to belittle anyone's issues that they're going through, but just know that there's help out there, whereas when I was growing up, there was no help. And if there was, I wasn't aware of it. But now there is mass media, and if anyone is feeling depressed, overweight, or the time of the year because you're not near your loved ones, well, that's when you should reach out to churches and different organizations to help you. And I just want to say to the vets in Mesa, Arizona, I met the managing partner of the VFW in Mesa, Arizona.
Veterans of Foreign Wars, Yes.
And he told me to tell all the vets who are listening to this show that are in Mesa, Arizona, or who or a veteran, to reach out to the veterans there at VFW, because they have also a lot of connections. They have a lot of
resources,
resources that they can send people to. And he's working with the homeless veterans.
Yes. Mitch, I'm going to have to wrap this up just a moment. And thank you so much for coming on board and sharing that information from VFW. We hope that maybe we can have some more stories coming in next live show that we do. Let me also reiterate again, listeners out there, if you're an employee or student, if you're a teacher, I want you to really focus on reasons to go on living a quality life, okay? As we close the show with some beautiful music from Wes Rick's from Two Worlds, I want you to really take a moment and just reflect on what we said today, and remember that every story, your story, my story, everyone's story, can help another person to grow. Shine your light and unconsciously give others permission to shine theirs.
Nice.
We close now. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite closing out on the Student to Teacher radio show this morning. And I don't want to forget the crisis hotline for veterans especially. Mitch, you have that number?
I don't have it on hand right
now.
I have it right here.
It's 1-800-273-8255. Contact WhiteAppleInstitute.org for more information. Thank you. Malmina, take it away. Thank you.